Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
We're going to learn a phrase or a word today. It's called simony. Sounds interesting, doesn't it? Not somebody you actually want to name your child, as we'll see. But if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God, we're in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to start in verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon. Remember a couple weeks we were introduced to him, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least of the greatest, saying, "This man has great power of God." And they heeded him because of his astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come to them, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Then Simon answered and said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me." Let's pray. Father, our prayer this morning is to be attentive to what your Spirit would speak to each of us. Lord, the desire of our hearts is to abide. Our desire of our hearts is to walk in the Spirit, to be empowered by you, Lord, to be an instrument of righteousness in your hand, but also an understanding of that fellowship that we have with you. So, Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together. And I pray that none of us would walk out of this building the same. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the people of Samaria thought that Simon was someone great, that he had the great power of God. Now, they heeded. That means they paid close attention, held on to his opinion. In fact, if you will, he had control over them. By his sorceries, what are those of the magical arts? Define the ability to exercise control over nature or people by means of sleight of hand, drugs, occultic practices, if you will, demonic powers. Now, you know what? Even back then, you could throw in science. Now, please don't misunderstand me. Science is not demonic. But back then, they didn't know a lot of things. So you could actually use science against them and amaze people and think that he had this power. But ultimately, all of it was done under demonic power and influence. But notice this, they all thought Simon was a big deal until Philip came into town. Verse 13, if you will. Then Simon himself also believed. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done by him. Simon believed. He was baptized. He followed Philip around like a little puppy dog. Why? Because he was amazed. He was astonished. That word astonished means to throw out of position, into wonderment. He was beside himself. seeing the miracles, the word is dunamis, the power. He saw real power. He saw real authority. He saw God working, and he wanted it. Now, if you notice verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Why? Because none of them had received the Holy Spirit yet. Interesting. Here they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, and yet they did not receive the Holy Spirit. Why did it take the apostles Peter and John? Well, I'll give you a couple of reasons. One, very important at this point. Remember, the Samaritans were known as half-breeds. They were looked very down upon by the Jews. God was going to use Peter and John to help everyone understand something. In the beginning, there is neither Jew, if you will, no Samaritan, and then we're going to find no Gentile. But we're all one in Christ. All. Doesn't matter what race we come from. It doesn't matter what culture we come from. It doesn't matter what breed we come from. Whatever you want to say, it does not matter. You are made in the image of God. God has come to the earth, Emmanuel, to save all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So to understand, like it says in Ephesians, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Only one. Doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you hail from. Now understanding that now, there's a second reason I want to bring your attention to. And that is something a lot of times that people misunderstand. What is it? The emphasis is on the Holy Spirit. Silence. The Holy Spirit. See, you can't live the Christian life apart from God's Spirit. And yet so many of us try. We think he's a side note. And then we struggle through life. We wonder if there will ever be a change in us. So we try harder. We may even pray harder. But see, it's important for us to come to this point again is to understand something. That in these days, in this time, it's important for all of us to acknowledge that apart from Christ, apart from His Spirit, we can't do it. And that's okay. Come to that conclusion. It's a hard one, I know. It'd be different if you woke up every morning and God's there, standing there, Jesus is standing there going, okay, ready, let's go. Now, I don't know about you, but remember when your parents, and some of you are still kids, so you remember this, when your mom or dad would say, hey, get up, it's time to go to school. The alarm clock. We didn't have them back then. No, it was mom or dad. Get up. Yeah, you know, you sit there and you lay there. What do? You don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. Now I know all of us have the alarm clock. How many times you hit the alarm thinking, I don't want to get up? But see, the point is that's what sometimes we would desire, is that Jesus would stand there and say, okay, let's go. Let's walk in the Spirit today. Now, understand something. In Scripture, the Holy Spirit was first with us. And what is that? He convicted people of sin to bring them what? To Christ, to righteousness in Christ. The second word we learn is that he will be in you. When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you. No denying. He's at work. Thank God he's at work. In spite of us, he's at work. Rejoice. If you just take for one moment right now, because all of you are going to be looking down and feeling bad about yourself, and you should not, because that's what this is about. This is about uplifting ourselves into the presence of the very God who loves us. Now, good news. God's at work in you. In spite of you, God is at work. Isn't that good news? Come on. Yes, it is. Amen. He's at work and he's going to complete that work. You're going to be done and it's going to be good. Because everything he does is good. We were just singing about, weren't we? He's good. And you will be perfect. But see, there's something here on this journey he desires for each of us. And if you will, it's to be upon us. Now, if you will, look at verse 16. For he as yet had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That word fallen upon is epe. It means to become upon them. Now we've seen this in Scripture when Jesus came and was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And then we just saw it earlier in Acts, didn't we? In fact, Jesus said, don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses. And then Peter, in the day of Pentecost, when they're saying, what is going on here? Remember what he said? He said, and it shall come to pass, he quotes from Joel, in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your men servants and your maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, just to clarify here something, we always think prophesy is to look into the future and speak of the future. But if you will, it's to speak forwardly. It's to speak forth. God using you as his mouthpiece. Using his words in your mouth. God empowered his word through you. Using you, using me, using us. God's desire is to come upon us. Now, again, if you will, think of it this way. God desires for us to be not only living, in Christ, the Spirit in us, but that we're living in the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're living in the Spirit. We're drowned in the Spirit. Can you imagine if that's the way we've lived our lives? Can you? Can you think that way? Now, look at verse 17. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They received, that word means to receive a person, in this case the Holy Spirit, and give him access to oneself. It's also in the imperfect. It means a continual or repeated action. Just as it says in Ephesians, be filled, be keep being filled in the Spirit. Filled. Receive. Accepting Him. Now listen, this is the interesting thing about this. The Holy Spirit's in you. But see, what the Holy Spirit desires is full reign in and through you. That's what we struggle with. Oh, we may give the Spirit at times. Right now, when I come to preach, I'm always like, oh, Holy Spirit, take over. Well, can I do that when I leave here? You probably do it too when you're teaching or you're going through something. You're, oh, Holy Spirit, please use me in this instance. And we do that. We kind of compartmentalize everything. But see, His desire is for us to just go about in our lives in His presence. Just like we sang abide. That's what abiding means. Just being at home, letting Him be at home in us. Letting Him live in and through us. Being open to His leading and moving all the time, constantly. His desire is for each of us to be filled to capacity. But again, it comes down to this, and it's true for all of us. How much do you want to be filled? How much are you willing to give Him access? How much are you willing to yield? That's different for all of us. We all struggle with different areas of our lives. That's not necessarily the holdup. It's the holdup in us, not Him. Because we don't give Him those areas. For instance, something in the past. Fill me, Lord, take control. But this room, I just don't like. It constantly comes up, Lord. Do you think the Lord does that? Do you remember when this happened? Oh, Lord, that was terrible. It's horrible. I can't believe I did that or they did that. And we go back there. And that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord's saying, Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do all things new. And see, really, if you will, it's a constant walk for each of us to allow God to go into those rooms, go into those areas to have free access. That's the battle for most of us. Have free access, full control. I'm yours. Let's walk together. And when those things come up and say, Lord, I do not want to be controlled by those feelings, those emotions, those pasts. I want to be filled and controlled by your Spirit. Is it easy? No, because the battle really is between ourselves. And of course, the enemy knows our weaknesses. He'll throw these things at us just to continue to nag us. Now, remember something. The Spirit can come upon us right now. Do you know that? Maybe when you're worshiping, you sense the Spirit. And that's good. Praise God. But then you go, well, that feeling is gone because it's not based on feeling. Oh, it can come like that. It can be warm. It could be, warm liquid. I get it. But see, again, it's not how high or hot it is or how high you jump, as the old saying goes, but it's how you walk afterwards. And if you will, it's God's Spirit always telling us, speaking to us like, let's go. We're on a journey together. I'm taking you home. We're not going your way. We're going my way. Sometimes it could be a struggle for you. But you should know because of the word that's been given to you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm on this journey with you. Everything that's happened in your past, everything that will happen today, everything that will happen in the future, I'm going to use. But you got to trust me. Everything. And see, that's where a lot of times we kind of struggle with, because sometimes we keep thinking, where are you? Where are you? And he says, I'm right here. I never move. Galatians, if you will. Galatians says it this way. Verse 16, chapter 5. I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. That makes sense, doesn't it? So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. But, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. If you will, Paul says is this. Is that when you focus on yourself and your flesh and what you desire, and we all struggle with this because we are in this body. Again, let's back up here. None of us are going to be perfect here. Let's not get to that. But the point is this, is each of us have the ability, if you will, to receive what God's Spirit desires to do in each of our lives. And saying that, each one of us, God desires to produce fruit. God desires to use each of us for His righteousness and His purpose. And it's really up to us to say, I am tired of being this way. I'm tired of living my life the way I want to, letting my emotions, my thoughts dictate to who I am and saying the person that I am to become. Instead, from now on, I am going to let the Spirit tell me, minister to me, and work all these things out for His glory. And when I feel otherwise, I'm going to see it as it is, either a deception from the enemy or my flesh rising up saying, feed me, which it does. Say no more. No more. I'm dead to that. I reckon him dead, he's dead. I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive in Christ. You know why that's important to say? Because you are. Good news. It's the truth. It's the truth. You are alive. More alive now than you'll ever be. And for eternity. See, what the Spirit has done, if you will, like it says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, or just to put it in a phrase what Jesus said, unless you are born again. Good news. You have received Christ born again. Everything you need pertaining to this life, God has given to us, Peter says, for godliness. Sometimes our worst enemy we find, as we look around, it's self. Our struggles many times is because of our own self-inflicted wounds. You find that? I'm my worst critic. Oh, I don't worry about what you think of me. I think too many things about myself. You? In Philippians chapter 2, Paul writing says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, there's any comfort of love. Any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy will fill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let the mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic? There's another side to this I want you to see, because I'll tell you, this is a hang-up for a lot of us at times. You're wondering, why can't I just be filled with the Spirit? I mean, I get what you're saying here. Sometimes the flesh does come in, and sometimes I allow my flesh to dictate to who and what I am. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you thought the gift of God could be purchased with money. Now this is known as simony. It means to purchase or desire, to purchase or desiring spiritual gifts or offices of authority rather than submitting unto the authority of the Holy Spirit. One writer puts it this way. Simon tried to obtain spiritual power in order to promote himself. Anytime we seek spiritual power or abilities to put ourselves forward, we make the same error. Preaching to gain recognition or status, serving with an eye to advancement, seeking spiritual gifts, promotions, or status, seeking to be godly for reputation, all are a type of simony. End of quote. God doesn't give gifts and abilities to enhance our own lives. The Holy Spirit comes to change us and use us for His glory and purpose, for the building up of others. We are to seek God, not the gifts. We are to submit unto His authority, not seeking authority. And so many times we ask to be filled with the Spirit because we want to feel better about ourselves. We want you to look at us and say, wow, my, isn't God using them? Aren't they Spirit-filled? Especially if I start using spiritual gifts. Because remember something, Simon was watching them and somehow God's power was being demonstrated as Peter and John laid their hands on these Samaritans. Whether they were speaking in tongues or speaking prophecy, whatever it was, they were doing something that manifests God's power. And Simon was like, hey, that's pretty cool. People would look at me as, look how spiritual he is. Whoa. Even the way he eats is spiritual. That guy is amazing. Wow. I think he even shoots baskets. Like a spirit-filled man. And there he walks. Not the most interesting man. No. The most spirit-filled man. And sometimes that's what we get hung up on. What you perceive rather than what God desires. We all struggle with that at times, I admit. The reality is God desires. You listening? God wants. God's good pleasure. God's will is the fellowship with you. You. Whether it be Miss Akani, whether it be Mike Baldwin, whether it be Micah, Julie, James, Brooke, Colleen, you. 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 And the work that he desires to do in and through each of us is unique. As unique as the stars in the heaven, as beautiful as the sky above, and as thoughtful as all his creation. His many thoughts towards each of us, you can't count. Yeah, think about that. Think of all these supercomputers and AI and stuff. Oh, that's child's play compared to God's great infinite mind. You is on his mind constantly. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Not to harm you. Not to judge you. But to love you. Go back. Verse 21. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God, Simon. You have neither part nor portion with God's Holy Spirit. Your heart's not right with one who seeks the power, the authority, the gifts, the experience of the Holy Spirit to enrich yourself personally. You have neither part nor portion. You need to check your motives. Oh, that the love of grace of God be our motive to draw near Christ and to submit unto his Spirit, to be used as he sees fit, to be filled daily for his workings, and through each of us to walk in fellowship with the Spirit. Simon missed it. In fact, look at verse 22. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray if God, perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Poisoned by bitterness. Simon deeply resented his loss of influence and power over the people. He was bitterly jealous. Bitter. Oh, my friends, I hope it doesn't hold us. Remember what Paul says in Ephesians? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Read that again. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So then Paul goes on to say, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking put away from you. With all malice, be kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. It's an interesting and it's a hard dynamic, if you will. But the truth of the matter is God brings each of us and he brings us to the cross. If you will, the Holy Spirit convicts us and brings us to Christ. Christ on the cross who died for our sins, but then he was buried and rose again. And now he says, the Spirit to all of us through his word, that you all have new life now. You have all been born again. And because of the way that the Son has given, you can now enter into the Father's presence. You can boldly enter in as a child of his child, that you may come in boldly and say, my Father, help. My Father, I'm in need. My Father, I need help. My Father, I love you. To each of us, that has been granted. And he says, come, enter into my fellowship with me. Stay with me. Do not move. You have been forgiven of all your sins, past, present, future. Every bad thought, every bad motive, every bad desire, every action you've done, everything you've done, it's been wiped clean. You are forgiven completely. Nothing in this earth that you've done wrong is entering into heaven. You're free. Completely. Healed. Now, knowing that, forgive others. Don't be held by it. Be free. Remember when Jesus gave the parable about the guy that was forgiven much, then he found some guy that, you know, owed him pennies compared to what he owed. He couldn't forgive him. Threw him in debt. Debtor's prison. He lost. He lost sight of really what it meant to be forgiven. We can do that too. We can hold him at arm's length. Spirit, I won't do this. Oh, do you remember? It's to receive is to be open, is to allow him every area. And trust me, in a lifetime, it takes a lifetime for the whole house of your temple, of who you are, to be completely open to his spirit. It takes time. It does. Oh, there's always something. Oh, you think you got one room all cleaned out and the Lord will knock on another one and say, well, okay, it's time for this one. Oh, I forgot about that one. No, you didn't. Because this is still affecting you. Let me in. And then it goes to the wrestling, the power struggle. No, I can't. I just can't do it, Lord. And the Lord said, I have to go under. I don't want you to go under because there's this stuff in there and I just can't deal with it right now. No, I'm going to help you with it. Remember, I'm walking with you through this. Let me in. Remember in Revelation 3:20, it says, he knocks at the door. Remember what it is? It really is about a church, but it can also be related individually. What's his desire? That he may sup or fellowship with us. For each of us, what's he knocking on what door of your heart? From one with a lot of experience. Let him in. Verse 24. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me that none of these things which you have spoken may come to me. And the question really is did he really seek forgiveness? And why didn't he ask himself? Did he just not understand? Did he really believe Christ? Or did he just covet the miracles and signs? As has been said, the faith that rests on miracles is not worth much. People are one with theatrics and sensationalism. They will need sensationalism to keep them. If you come for the warm fuzzies, you need to keep the warm fuzzies to keep coming back. If they are won by prosperity and personal gain, they are lost in their poverty, whether materially or spiritually. Now, Simon, through church history and tradition, whether it's true or not, I don't know. And they don't know. But suppose that he started the cult, Gnosticism. And then he also started a heresy in Rome. So no, if it's true, then he was still focusing on self. Glorifying self. Me first. Oh, but not true for you and I. See, we understand that those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, we know carnally minded is death. But spiritually minded, it's life, it's peace.
Would you stand with me?
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we come before you knowing that we have failed in so many areas of our lives. And this isn't supposed to bring us down. It's supposed to give us hope. The hope of the truth of the matter is we're tired of being in your way. Lord, we just pray that you would have free access to everything that we are in our little temples that we have. We pray, Lord, that we would desire your Holy Spirit to take control of us, not for any other reason than for your purpose, your glory, and the work that you're doing in each of us. Lord, some of us may have bitterness in our hearts. Some of us can't forgive. Some of us have been hurt so bad we just can't see how we can. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them to at least a place that they would start having a conversation with you about it. Asking you to help them to forgive. Help them to let go. I pray for each of us, Lord, that our desire this morning would be more of you and less of us. Just as we sing. Again, yes, there is loss to that, but the loss, oh, it's nothing in comparison to its gain. My prayer for each of us is that your Holy Spirit would come upon us daily, being filled with your Spirit, walking in your Spirit, fellowshipping with your Spirit, hearing your Spirit speak to our hearts continually. Lord, not for any manifestation for our own purpose or glory, but only for yours. That we, as your dear children, would understand what it means to be in fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lord, maybe there's some here that have not asked for your Spirit to come upon them. Just take control. Maybe they need this moment to say, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Lord Jesus, baptize me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. Whatever words you want to use, it's okay. He understands. But say, Lord, I desire for your Spirit to come upon me and take control of my life. Is that your desire this morning? Then take a moment right now and just ask God to baptize you, to fill you, to come upon you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Jesus' name we pray.